This is Temple View, a feature service of WRTI News.
For many people, the first introduction to modern life of Chinese Americans was through the eyes of Amy Tan. The internationally renowned author's first novel, The Joy Luck Club, centered on the lives and relationships of mothers and daughters. From the upheaval surrounding China's Communist Revolution in 1949 to their lives later on in America. 17 years and 6 books later, Tan remains gifted in her ability to captivate one's mind by attaching words to emotions and observations. She says her own mother has been a major influence in her storytelling.
I can still hear that voice in one sense in memory, but if I were to concentrate long enough as I'm writing, it's as though I'm meditating. I can take myself in my imagination that I'm hearing that voice not as memory, but as though it is telling the story right in front of me.
An essay Tan wrote, entitled Mother Tongue, contains a transcript of a conversation with her mother, a woman whose expressive command of English belies how much she comprehends. During the conversation, her mother recounts how a poor man who wanted to live with her wealthier family in China ended up surpassing her family in power and riches.
That man wanted to see Duzong's father take him in like become own family. Duzong's father wasn't looked down on him, but didn't take seriously until that man, big like, become a mafia. Now important person. Very hard to inviting him. Chinese way came only to show respect. Don't stay for dinner.
Her mother, who passed away in 1999, was the inspiration behind Tan's second novel, The Kitchen God's Wife. I'm Meredy Duddleston, WRTI News.
This is Temple View, a feature service of WRTI News.
This week on Temple View, a conversation with Amy Tan, the author of 5 novels, a work of nonfiction, and 2 children's books. Tan's most recent novel, Saving Fish from Drowning, highlights her ability to portray different age groups, occupations, sexes, and cultures.
My job as a writer, I think, is to point out confusion and chaos within my own mind, and somehow some of this chaos and confusion is perhaps something that other people have as well. I have the luxury as a writer sitting at my desk and thinking about these things for a very, very long time. And I think that people, you know, they have to go about their lives and take care of jobs and family and kids. And they have these same concerns, but they don't get to sit for 15 hours a day and think about it, write about it.
In Saving Fish from Drowning, Tan takes her readers on journeys, a jungle tribe in the military regime of Burma, a media frenzy, a stop with a U.S. embassy official, a travel agent's past, present, and future.
I just put those questions and confusion and possible pathways of what those things lead to into a story. And I think it's one of the reasons people like to read is that they imagine themselves as those very people in the story going on the same journey and having similar questions.
Author Amy Tan is appearing at the Philadelphia Speaker Series tonight. On the next Temple View, Amy Tan talks about her recent journey to China. I'm Meredy Duddleston, WRTI News.
This is Temple View, a feature service of WRTI News.
This week on Temple View, author Amy Tan. Tan spoke about her recent 12-day stay in a rice farming village in China. It's a changing place, she says, where villagers who live a hard life earn maybe $20 a month, but are wired to the world through cell phones and satellite TV. During this return visit, Tan found villagers dealing with the aftermath of a fire that destroyed many homes. The fire may have started when a quilt on a sick man's bed dropped into a pan of hot coals his son had placed in the room before returning to his own home. As punishment, the son was banished from the village for several years. Tan sees the incident as shedding light on how different cultures view and deal with accidents and personal responsibility.
From a Western point of view, you would say, oh, that's terrible. It was an accident. He shouldn't be punished at all. You know, he had nothing to do with it. But if you go in the village and you realize what the code of conduct is, that you're responsible for your father and you can't neglect him, and then you start to talk to people and you realize there is an entire history that stretches back for 40 years about this family and how they had always brought a lot of bad luck on this village.
Tan says the incident highlights how different people think about justice and how things are caused, and in turn, what constitutes the right response.
You know, in an American situation like that, all those 60 people who lost their homes plus the 44 had them severely damaged would be suing this family. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we get a sense of balance when a accident with some degree of responsibility has occurred.
An article written by Tan on the transformation of the village in southwestern Guizhou province will appear in National Geographic. I'm Meredith Duddleston, WRTI News.